This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. Earlier this summer, the Southeast Michigan Council of Governments, SEMCOG, adopted something called the 2040 Regional Transportation Plan. Basically, it's a roadmap of how to spend $36 billion over the next 30 years to improve transportation in Southeast Michigan. Well, of all the proposed improvements in this plan, the most controversial has been the renovation and expansion of I-94 and I-75. The price tag to expand and renovate these Detroit-area freeways is around $4 billion. But critics say the proposal, especially the I-94 project, would force neighbors to pay a different price. Megan Owens is the executive director of Transportation Riders United, and Megan joins us now from Detroit. Welcome to Stateside.
Hello.
So the I-94 proposal is basically calling to expand the freeway between Connor to I-96 in Detroit. Price tag $2.7 billion in federal and state bonds. Why do you oppose this expansion?
Well, we have no problem with the repairing and rebuilding of that highway because it certainly is old. But the reality is our population as a region is not growing. The number of miles we're traveling is not growing. We can barely afford to maintain the roads we have. It really doesn't make sense to be spending so much money to widen highways and add more lane miles. That money would be much better spent on repairing the roads we have or looking at transportation alternatives like public transit.
I will say, having driven I-94 a lot through the years, it does seem that it just jams up a lot. And it always made me wonder, as a driver, if they widen this thing, would it be better? So is that a fair question to ask?
That is certainly something everyone sitting in a traffic jam always wonders. But when researchers have looked at it, there's this concept called induced demand that whenever you widen a highway or a roadway, it just invites more people to utilize it. And within a couple of years, almost all of that new lane mile area is being utilized, is filled up with more traffic. So it really actually doesn't help to widen highways. We've seen highways get wider and wider, and yet the traffic continues.
I guess all I have to say is the Dan Ryan Freeway to anybody who's driven in Chicago. I guess you're right when you think of how many lanes wide that is and how often that's gridlocked.
Absolutely. Or L.A. certainly has a lot of examples. But they've started choosing to invest in alternatives, giving people other ways to get around than just their highways.
Such as?
Well, they've been making major investments in their public transit system. They've, even in another very auto-oriented city, they've made major investments in their bus system, in new rail lines, they're actually building a subway. You didn't realize anyone was building those these days, but they are making major investments in giving people other ways to get around than just their cars. And that's starting to pay off.
But aren't there restrictions on how that federal money for the project could be used?
Yes. In this case, we can't just transfer the money directly from this highway project to public transit. But as a region and as a state, we certainly could be making choices to make investments in transportation in a different way.
Certainly. The issue of transportation in Southeast Michigan, it goes back decades, the fact that there really isn't a unified system. And I know there's movement toward that. But back to what could be done with this money, are there alternative ways to use those funds available for the project?
Well, I'm sure every one of us could point at some roadways that need to be repaired, potholes that need to be filled. And so if we could take even the 20% of this cost that is allocated for the widening portion, that's hundreds of millions of dollars that could be spent repairing roads that we already have so that they're in better shape, so we're not getting so many flat tires from potholes and so much difficulty in that way. That's certainly something that's needed all across the region of the state.
We're speaking with Megan Owens. She's the executive director of Transportation Riders United, and kind of uniting the criticism about a plan to expand I-94 through the city of Detroit, basically from Connor to I-96. And with the plan, MDOT talks about getting rid of the old left-hand exits, widening with another lane in each direction, widening the service drives. What do your studies show, Megan, would be the toll on the neighborhoods along 94 between Connor and I-96?
Well, that's another huge impact. This is actually one of the few growing areas in the Midtown Detroit area where there's a lot more people moving in and who want to get around without always having to use a car. But they're proposing to tear out numerous bridges, including pedestrian overpasses, that would actually make it dramatically more difficult for people to get around.
And what about lost homes? What do you project would happen if they do go ahead and follow through with the plan to not only widen the lanes but also widen the service drives?
There would not only be dozens of homes lost, but also a building that's very historic in the Motown music history, a very popular school would be either destroyed or at least significantly impacted. There are a number of additional local impacts that would really hit the community very hard.
Now, there is, Megan, some real history associated with freeway building in Detroit. What did the initial freeway construction around the city, whether you're talking the Ford Freeway or I-96, the Jefferies, what did it do to African-American neighborhoods?
It really devastated them. There were some very successful and popular neighborhoods back in the 20s, 30s, and 40s that ended up being completely devastated by, and ultimately destroyed by having highways plowed right through the middle of them. And in addition to the actual paving over of homes and neighborhoods, it also really facilitated the exodus from Detroit, making it much easier for people to live further out and have a quick commute into their jobs in the city. But that ended up really just spurring further development further and further out and enabling a lot of the sprawl and the paving over of green spaces, wetlands, and farmlands in the suburban areas.
Well, SEMCOG has adopted the 2040 Regional Transportation Plan. What comes next? What should we watch for?
This is a long-range plan, and every couple of years they do a shorter-term plan that looks at the next 3 to 5 years. So there still are definitely opportunities for people to weigh in if they have concerns about the direction of, again, spending almost $4 billion on widening highways. If you want to see those invested elsewhere, contact SEMCOG. Let them know. Contact MDOT. Contact your elected leaders and let them know what you want to see in terms of a transportation system. There will be a lot of choices, a lot of opportunities coming up in the next months and years to decide what Michigan's transportation future is going to be. This is definitely not the last word.
Megan Owens is the Executive Director of Transportation Riders United, and she spoke with us from their offices in Detroit. Megan, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Let's turn now to MDOT and find out why they believe this expansion of I-94 and I-75 is needed. We're joined now by Rob Morosi of the Michigan Department of Transportation. Hello, Rob.
Hi, Cindy. How are you?
I'm great. So, Rob, how do you respond to groups like Transportation Riders United, the critics who say, sure, spend money to repair and rebuild, but if the population of the region isn't growing and we can hardly maintain the highways we do have, why widen and add more lanes?
Well, I think it's twofold. First and foremost, the need. The need is there for I-94. You're looking at a corridor 7 miles that was constructed between 1947 and 1958 really needs to be modernized. Everybody's calling this a widening project. Really, in true essence, it is a modernization project. We need to really modernize the freeway, lengthen, create acceleration, deceleration lanes, improve mobility, but more importantly, improve safety.
So, Rob Morosi, as it's planned now and as the project stands, how will a driver see a different I-94? If we're crossing along that stretch from Connor to I-96, what will
right.
be different after it's modernized?
After it's modernized, the biggest difference is going to be the comfort level for the driver. You are going to have, again, you're going to have extended acceleration and deceleration lanes. You're going to have brand new overpasses. You're going to have a completely remade 94 Lodge interchange, removing those outdated left lane exits and entrance ramps, and replacing them with standard right lane movements. I think the drivers are also going to see widened shoulders, more area to pull off if there's an incident in front of you, or if your vehicle is encountering some sort of malfunction the way it operates.
Will there be more lanes?
There will be an additional through lane in each direction. There will be one lane eastbound, westbound. That's a through lane from 96 all the way over to Connor.
Okay, because there is a lot of talk about that induced demand, that traffic will just expand to fit whatever road capacity is there. So we're still going to see traffic jams after there's that extra lane. Is there some merit to that?
Well, we're not building freeways like they have in Los Angeles. I mean, we're going from three through lanes to four through lanes. Yes, there will be continuous service drives, which need to be built. But we're not looking at a massive, expansive freeway. So anytime you live in a major metropolitan area and you are hitting the commute times, the heavy times, the morning and afternoon rush, you are going to see some delays. This is not the end-all, be-all. You are not going to go from Grosse Pointe to Comerica Park in, you know, half the time without ever hitting your brakes. That's not going to happen. But what this project is going to do is, again, improve safety. I think that's the one thing that I really hope people understand is the safety aspect. When you look from January 1st, 2008 to December 31st, 2012, our latest five-year crash data, more than 4,800 crashes in 5 years on that 6.7-mile stretch. The reason being, it's outdated, and it needs the modernization.
I'm speaking with Rob Morosi of the Michigan Department of Transportation, looking at the planned expansion of I-94. And, Rob, there is concern about the impact that this is going to have on the neighborhoods, particularly along between Connor and I-96. First of all, why are pedestrian bridges going to be removed? Some are going to, it's going to present hardships for folks who are going to have to walk a lot further to get to a pedestrian bridge.
Right, and we understand that. Some of the pedestrian bridges are being removed not because we want to remove them, but because of the creation of the acceleration and deceleration lanes. So we are looking at a couple pedestrian bridges, Brooklyn over 94, mm-hmm. Canfield over M10, but those are being removed for the complete reconfiguration of the 94 Lodge interchange. A lot of the other pedestrian bridges along I-94, especially from Shane to Connor, will remain in place. And a lot of these overpasses will be built to modern standards, which will include a 5-foot bike lane and 8-foot sidewalks protected from vehicle traffic. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things that we are going to incorporate in this project that not only adapt to the complete streets policy, but also adapt to more modern freeway standards. And there is just as much emphasis on local mobility as there is for freeway mobility. And that is, of course, the creation of the continuous service drives. Right now, if we have an incident on I-94, there's a lot of times the service drives are not through service drives. They dead end into right-of-way fence.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we have an incident on the freeway and we need to pull all that traffic off the freeway and that service drive is not continuous, those cars are going through a neighborhood they're not familiar with. I think that's more dangerous. By creating these continuous service drives, that will allow that traffic to exit the freeway, continue again on a dedicated straight-through service drive to the next available ramp to get them around that incident. So I think there is a lot of safety benefits to the local community by the construction of these continuous service drives.
I do want to ask if you can respond to kind of a consistent theme from critics when you read reader reactions to stories online and the like. And that's the big picture concern that this expansion really helps the driver that's going, say, from St. Clair Shores to Detroit Metro Airport, really having nothing to do with supporting or helping the neighborhoods where these freeways run through. How do you respond to that?
Well, I think there's some misunderstanding there. I really think the continuous service drives really do benefit the neighborhoods. I think the new overpasses benefit the neighborhoods. We're talking about connectivity over a freeway for local traffic. These bridges I mean, we're already up to 7 or 8 in critical condition, 14 in poor condition. So this freeway needs to be rebuilt anyway. This is all about safety in terms of not only for the drivers of the freeway, but for the residents in the local neighborhoods. If you've seen some of these overpasses, there are some sidewalks that are just in very poor condition, pedestrian bridges that are in very poor condition. The other thing I think that really needs to be looked at is the availability for a more multimodal approach in the neighborhood. You can construct service drives with 11-foot lanes, 8-foot shoulder for non-motorized bike lanes, pedestrian access, things of that nature. So, you know, this is not simply about just bringing people from point A to point B on the freeway. I think when you really boil this project down to the nitty-gritty, you are going to see just as many, if not more, benefits for the local community than you would for the freeway drivers themselves.
And remind us of the timetable, Rob. When does it begin, and when will this all be wrapped up?
Well, that's the million-dollar question. It really is. And right now, everyone knows the department is really struggling financially. A lot of uncertainty in our funding now and in the future. We're really targeting to really get going on this maybe as early as late 16, most likely probably 2017 in that area. Now, there's some bridges that are in critical nature that we want to attend to in 2014 as well as 2015.
Rob Morosi is with the Michigan Department of Transportation. Rob, thanks for talking with us today on Stateside.
My pleasure.